I want to call this meeting to order. The first voting meeting of the Expanded Budget Committee for 2010 budget here in Tompkins County. Blah, blah, blah. On your desk, there is a schedule of tonight's meeting. Also, the 13th and 15th, there is financial information for agencies as requested by a legislator, Dooley Peterson? Who is that? There's also summary of motions received from legislators as of 10-13-09 and cooperative extension contracts. You were recently handed a manila folder with the table, introduction to the table on impacts of the county appropriation to Cornell Cooperative Extension impacts for the last full year of data 2008. And I was quickly turned on to the fact that it was cooperative extension because it was in color. So y'all have that on your desk. On the schedule, it says review the voting schedule, chair. Well, the departments are listed here: mental health, capital, public health, sanitarian, public library, and after the break, cooperative extension, and so on. My sense of all this is that it will, after a few comments are made by questions that people may have, that those people who have resolutions would present their resolutions, and hopefully if they get seconded, there will be some discussion on it. What I'm asking for, and I know that people will want to be supportive or not supportive of certain resolutions, I would ask you to be concise as much as you can, given the reasons you may or may not be supporting the resolution. And also, as we go through it and things get passed, it's sort of a straw vote on everything. These are not things that are going to end up in the final analysis that we have. I'm guessing before this is done, some of these things will be revisited one, two, three times, and we will end up with a budget that eight people or more can support sometime in the middle of November, if not before that. You all know what the deal is. The county administrator put in a tentative budget that we're working with, and if in fact by some chance we cannot agree on a county budget, the county budget presented by the county administrator, the tentative would be then the final budget that the county would adopt. Hopefully we can come to some agreement down the road on some of the things we want to do. Anyone have any questions? Mike and then Martha.
Just to frame in what you said about straw polls, this is a subcommittee. Subcommittee at some point will come out with the majority of votes of those sitting here that will recommend to the full legislature. Full legislature will then accept those, vote on them. If we have eight votes at the full legislature, whether that's at next Tuesday's meeting or some meeting in late October, that then becomes the tentative budget that goes out to the public. So hands up and down here are a recommendation to ourselves as full legislature, but that none of that really becomes permanent until we have eight votes at the full legislature to change the present tentative budget to a new tentative budget.
Thank you for that comment. As a many-year chair of the Budget Committee, Nathan, is there anything you want to add to that from your one-year experience to help me out?
No.
Okay. Martha, you had your hand up.
But the votes we take in these meetings do change what's on the floor, right? I mean, I understand that it doesn't change the tentative budget until we vote to accept it,
right,
as a proposed budget. But these votes do change whatever becomes the proposed budget.
Yeah, it's fair to say that.
Okay, the straw poll kind of, in straw vote sort of says it doesn't really count.
Well,
but
I mean, it's sort of, I mean, it doesn't count till the game is over, as far as I'm concerned. And there's a lot of innings in this contest, and to use baseball references, I'm sorry. And you know, at the end of the day, there will be 8 votes plus to approve a budget. Hopefully, whatever we've done today and next Thursday and days after that will, you know, will be reflected in what the budget looks like.
And at these meetings, it doesn't necessarily require 8. It requires a majority of who's sitting at the table.
It would make sense to me if there's only 4, you know, 6 people here and 4 people support it, that it ain't going anywhere unless it gets 8 votes. So, you know, I mean, of course. Mike Carter, you had your hand up.
Mr. Chairman, I've been impressed with the budget as drafted by the county administrator and with the cooperation of departments and various other entities that are part of our budget. I wondered if, before we started to entertain motions to change, you would entertain a motion to accept the budget by committee as is, recommended to the full legislature. If you accept that kind of a motion, I'm making it.
Well, my only question to you is, you know about the new information that's come to the front, that we got a notice the other day that we need $300,000 more for the pension fund for at the end of 2010, and it's my sense that $300,000 was not included in the tentative budget, and I'm getting a shaking head yes from the county administrator it wasn't. And so for me, you know, I just want to throw that out.
Yeah, with the proviso that we're going to have to deal with that $300,000.
What's the motion?
Yeah, what's the motion?
That we accept the budget in committee to recommend to the legislature, with the proviso that with the modification that the county administrator is going to be recommending some additional changes to accommodate the $300,000 shortfall or increase in cost due to the pension fund increases.
Is there a second to that, Mike? Discussion on that. Carol?
Yeah, I was going to ask the chair to ask the county administrator to talk to us a little bit more tonight about that $300,000. It isn't clear to me what the implications of this new motion would be. Does that mean $300,000 would be a 0.8% rise in the tax levy, which might be acceptable to us? Does the motion include that, should that be the recommendation, that we have to deal with the $300,000, that we're de facto accepting 3.8%?
Can the maker answer that?
No, I think what I said, without being able to replay my comments, was that with the understanding that we would have further recommendations from the county administrator regarding how we were going to accommodate that change, I wasn't assuming it would be added to the tax rate.
You weren't assuming it would be added to the levy. In other words, but your levy would still be 3% plus the tentative budget, and then the county administrator would come up with some other ways to deal with the $300,000.
Does this presume not to add any increased taxes to take care of the $300,000? Or you're not making any...
I'm not making an assumption about what kind of recommendation we might get from the county administrator.
Okay. Thank you. I would just say... you know, it may end up that we end up here, but I would like to go through the process. And I think that the budget is pretty equally painful in most directions. I really like the framework that Joe and staff worked out of sort of a certain amount from new revenue, a certain amount from cuts, a certain amount from tax levy, et cetera. And so I think that was, you know, as fair as it could be. But I don't think it's exactly as I would like it, and I would like to have a chance to make other changes to the budget and see if any of those get support. So I'll be voting against this at this point.
Mike Kaplinka-Lair, and then Frank.
I certainly understand the need to own this, massaging it ourselves, to tweak it as best we see fit. But I will be supporting this at this time because the overall framework that we gave out at the end of April and then gave as a challenge to our department heads and our county administrator in early May of a tax levy goal gave our entire organization time to make a lot of internal decisions about priorities and has been submitted to us. And I agree that on balance, you know, the pain is being shared. The challenges are very, very steep. We know what next year is going to be bringing us is even going to be worse and possibly 2 years down the line. And so because it has met the goal, because it has gone through a fairly rigorous internal process, and we've even had opportunity for public input already, and we will have another opportunity for public input, I think we have a decent balance that I can support.
Frank.
Yes, fair. My recollection is that when we voted to set a goal, that we wanted to go through this torturous exercise to find out where we would, what the impacts would be, and not to test Joe's first year developing a county budget, but it ended up being that. With all due respect to my colleague, Mike Hattery, who I don't often disagree with, I would like to move at the appropriate time that we postpone action on this on this motion so that we can go through some of the changes that have been, that are probably going to be proposed based on the list that some of us participated in preparing, so that we can see what the impact might be on the overall levy and also the overall tax rate. I think some of the departments that have spent a lot of time and the agencies developing presentations ought to have an opportunity to make those presentations so that we can deliberate a little bit. So I would like to move, when you give me the signal, Mr. Chairman, to postpone action on this or perhaps table indefinitely this motion.
Well,
are you giving me a signal?
No, I'm not giving you a signal. I will have to I will have to discuss with my close colleague what what my next move might be.
Did you want to?
I'm kidding.
Did you want a caucus?
No. Well, so these two. That's all. Dooley, go ahead.
I think there's time enough to vote on the county administrator's recommended budget if we, as a legislature, are unable to agree on any changes to it. I think it's premature to consider voting on it now. It's always our fallback place. And I would like to proceed for us to talk about how we can improve his recommended budget right now.
Well, does it make, Mike, go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt your mid-sentence.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think we run the risk of increasing expenditures in this budget, and you know, there's any number that I think any individuals on the legislature could support, but I think that given the our prospect in the next 3 years, we it's important that we take a very hard line this year on this budget, and that's why I introduced the resolution or the motion that I did.
Any other comments? Martha and then Mike.
We have a legislature form of government, not a county, with a county administrator, not a county executive, and I think it's our responsibility to go through this in detail. And we may end up exactly right back here. But I think we owe it to each other, and especially to the public and to our staff, that we consider it really carefully and weigh the pros and cons and try to convince each other of whatever it is that we choose, and not just take what's been handed, even if it's good.
Mike, and then Carol.
Just to speak to Frank's request about appropriate time to table, I believe you can table a resolution, but you can't table a motion. A motion's like an amendment. So you can't table Mike Hatteries. You can table the whole thing, which is the resolution to pass this tentative budget, but you can't table an amendment.
Carol.
You know what, I'll pass until we decide on this, and then I would like to put myself in the queue.
There was a motion and a second to do this. It makes sense to me that maybe we should vote on that and see where the chips fall, and then see what we do from there. So all those in favor of Mike's resolution, which is to accept the tentative budget and ask the county administrator to print money at home for the $300,000 or something close to that. In favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Those opposed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
Sir Tim, how did you vote?
I voted in favor of it.
I thought it was five then.
That made it five.
Well, five. Sorry, I didn't see your hand, Mike. It would be five. So it's 7-5, and the motion is defeated. And what I would have added to that, if I can say it, and I will take that opportunity, that I would have added the $300,000 and increase the levy 8.8, and I would have been happy with that, and we could have gone from there. Let's get back to the schedule. Martha, you had said to me you had a question you wanted to start with to David Squires about the $300,000, so let's do that.
Thanks very much, Jim. I just wanted to get a little bit more background understanding of this $300,000 that we heard about just a week ago at the legislature meeting and didn't really have a chance to discuss. So it's, I think, unfortunately going to have a big impact on people's, already having a big impact on people's thinking. So I think it's important for us to understand it. I appreciate the time.
I'm going to pass out some information. Responding specifically to your questions, you know, I wish that it was easy to say that we knew precisely how much the bill was going to be. We know it's between $4.5 million to $5 million. The state gave us an estimate last week of and unfortunately, the estimate they give us includes other entities in it. So we have to strip it out and come down to our share. And we strip out the other entities. The Tompkins County Library is the biggest. And the base is based upon a payroll that has not been completed yet. It's based upon the actual payrolls from April 1st through March 31st of 2010. The 2011 bill is based upon its actual salaries. What I handed out, answering specific questions, why did the cost go up? Because the detailed information they gave us, which is by tier, the salary base for the largest tier, I estimated at $27 million, and they're saying that salary base is $28.9 million. So that accounts for basically the difference. And I misspoke. It's really more closer to $200,000. But there's always a $100,000 room for error one way or the other, up or down. In 2008, the bill estimate was, it was $100,000 higher than we actually paid. Because when they give us the estimate, it's based upon common projections for the reported salaries from a period a year ago, and they're projected forward. We're dealing with a budget, and we're dealing with a fringe pool that includes the retirement is the second largest amount in the fringe pool. Health insurance is double the amount exposure than retirement. And you take, it's estimated at 40.5 of budgeted payroll, which is different than the bills based upon actual payroll expenses. And it's not even based upon a calendar year. So each year we can be pretty precise, but not exact. And so the crux of the matter is that it's my opinion that my original estimate is off by a couple hundred thousand dollars based upon what they're saying is the Tier 4. And when I did the estimate originally, I looked at past bills and known facts, like when a contract is settled, and would that influence the prior year's base? And so I probably was a little conservative on Tier 4. Can the bill go up? Yes, but it's not likely to go up marginally. What could affect it is if there's a settlement, a retroactive settlement of a contract that occurs and is paid out before April 1st of 2010. That could distort the base for one of the tiers because we're projecting forward based upon sort of information that their actuary has suggested that you increase your reported salaries by. Tier 4, for example, was, they told you to increase it by 7% from the previous reporting period. But I mean, the bottom line is, you know, if I had to say my estimate right now is $195,000 more than it was before we went into the budget process, not $300,000. And it could go up or down by $100,000.
Go ahead, Martha. And frankly, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. I think a couple of questions, and then we should get to the reason we're here, because it sounds really fluid to me, and given what's going on in the pension fund in New York State, I think we're lucky it's only $300,000. But go ahead.
Okay, so now you're saying it's the most solid number is about $200,000, but there needs to be some
window
in there.
Yeah, what did I include in your estimate? What I concluded was that, see, they give you an estimate by salary base by tier, and right. Then when you get the final bill, if you look at it, there's adjustments, prior adjustments to salaries that you don't know anything about, and those can go up or down because what happens is if somebody retires during the period who didn't work for the county, but who the system ultimately says, oh, Tompkins County, they work for them, we need to prorate their share of the benefit, and they'll go back and say, oh, you owe us part of their employer's contribution based upon the ultimate benefit they paid out to that, they're going to pay out to that individual. So that can go as high, I think. Some years it's $100,000, some years it's $20,000, and the only information we get is who it's for. And like last year's bill, I think it was mostly the library and TC3 employees that were in the prior adjustments.
Now, when this controller is working out these numbers, do they know what our current roster is, or are you saying?
They know. We report monthly. Every month they get a report. And then they, when each year, they ask us to verify the reporting for the year. So we verify by tier. And part of the complicating is, like tier four includes library employees. Mm-hmm. So our bill includes, it's about 95% county, 5% library for tier four for that group. Some of the groups are separate. The sheriff's a separate system, so we can clearly identify them, and they clearly identify what TC3 is. But the bill is much higher because it includes the library share and TC3's share.
But your $200,000 includes just the people we actually are responsible for.
Right, yes.
Frank, you had a question?
No.
Okay.
I'll hold it for
all
when
right.
we begin the discussion.
Carol, is about this?
No, it's moving on from this, but... So when you're done with this?
What I want to do is get to the first item on the agenda. It's the mental health item.
Before you get to the first item on the agenda, I passed before and I wanted to make sure we were done with the $300,000, but I'm uncomfortable proceeding item by item through what we have tonight with this as unsettled as it is, and I think that it will color our view of what we hear tonight and before this is a little more settled.
Well, there are motion to adjourn the meeting then.
But I'd like to suggest another way of conceptualizing the way that we go through this. As I look over this list of items we're going to be looking at, they are all either additions or subtractions in isolation. I have given Norma some groupings. As we look at the budget, there are ways in which I can see conceptualizing the kinds of things we'd like to impact amidst the whole, say, $5 million of a particular budget. Are we adding 20,000 here or taking 30,000 away there? And I have handed in some materials that involve grouping additions with subtractions. So the ultimate aim is to have us impact and not accept the administrator's recommendations without putting our own impact on them, but that still keep it in relative balance with what the guidelines we've given him before. And the process that we have at the moment doesn't allow for that. I do hope that as we move on, there will be a chance to look at groupings as opposed to items in isolation. I can give you examples. And I guess I'd like you to suggest the way to do that.
I believe I understand what you're trying to do, but the problem is we have a process set up, and it seems to be on an individualized basis, at least at this meeting and the previous and the following meeting. We have people hear about that, and it makes sense to me that we should probably proceed this way. Frank, you had your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I'm going to ask at the appropriate time that if there's any changes in the base material that we've received in the budget books with regard to fund balances, that maybe Joe or David can let us know to update some of those numbers tonight. But I'd like to comment on Carol's comment. Carol, I think what your heart's in the right place. The concern is the state always, no matter what they do, we're a moving target and they're a moving target. If we don't begin the process in an orderly fashion as we go through this, we'll never get through the budget. And I can give you another example. In yesterday's paper, the state, even though it's not confirmed, is going to be asking all local health departments to do the well monitoring on water wells with regard to the gas well drilling. We had a brief discussion at the health committee about that and decided we can't even speculate on that. We don't even know if it's going to really happen. And that's where I think I am with what you're suggesting. We have in front of us numbers that we're pretty confident in right now, and it could all change by November, and often it does. David, in the past, has managed to come up with that magical $2 or $3 million in sales tax that he's hidden someplace. I don't know that that's going to happen this year. So I'd suggest we proceed with it seriously.
Yeah,
I
suggest
we agree.
Proceed.
My heart's in the right place. I've got a list for you, Fred.
Someone had their hand up over here, or am I seeing things? I'm probably seeing things. Joe, is there anything you wanted to say at all about anything you've heard so far?
I'm happy we don't have a county executive form of government because I couldn't be elected as dog catcher, so I'm happy about that. Norma has prepared, I think, a useful summary that provides some context. It tries to summarize, I think, all of the proposals that we've received so far. So you can get a sense when you look on here how much has been asked for in terms of target increases, one-time increases, target decreases. And with respect to Carol's issue about context and understanding how individual things play into a larger picture, I think this is probably a pretty good starting point in providing that context.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I had one other suggestion for Carol, perhaps. When we get to a topic where she was going to make a motion up or down, that's the time for her to suggest the paired motion she would like to make. We can ignore it or act on it, but I think that she would get to share that with us that way.
Thanks for that comment. That's helpful. Should we then, you're doing a great job burning this deal into the ground. Let's get back to the mental health 5:10 p.m. resolution. That if we're waiting, you know, it's like riding on a Amtrak. You know, it's never on time. You got it. Who's going to do this resolution for mental health? Is there a motion on mental health?
Can you refresh our memories as to what that is?
Norman?
To restore the
position.
Psychiatric social worker, as recommended or as requested by the department. Total local share is $79,644, so OTR 054. Page 201 in your book, I believe.
Yeah. I would love to move it.
Is there a second? Martha? I hesitate to say discussion. Who's it going to be?
Julie.
Okay, you know, I know who it is. Who wants to talk? Will? Did you have your hand up to talk?
I'm sorry, it's just offering a second. But
no, it was Julie and Martha. Discussion. Martha?
I think this is, we've heard from a lot of the public that this is something that's really, really needed. It's something that's been sort of carried along as a one-time expense, I think if I'm right, for a number of years. And the mental health department has done a lot of work to trim their expenses, and including staff, and to streamline their operations, and to absorb the cut, the target cut that we that the 3% levy required of them. And I really feel like this is something that the community has essentially asked us to replace. And I feel that we just had a tragedy, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and we don't know that specific person could have been saved by this worker, but it's the sort of thing that is really a position that really, I think, our first responders have come to rely on, and it makes a huge difference in our community. So hope people will support it.
Anyone else? Julie.
The fact that we have carried this for so many years with one-time money, and that we have been, it's been demonstrated how much this position is needed by the community, it seems that we should stop playing games with it and make it a target position, which is what we've even heard people come to our budget forum and tell us.
Okay. Carol, then Mike Sigler.
This was one of the areas that I thought we could balance under the conception of emergency services and preventive emergency services as opposed to reactive emergency services, so that I thought that if we could restore all or half of this position, support for the DSS for abused women and the advocacy center and child support enforcement and education of impulsive parents, that the way to save money, that would then save the need for further emergency dispatchers. So that's the kind of conceptual grouping I was hoping to explore. As part of exploring that, I did try to call Bob DeLuca and ask him if half a position, whether we do it through a grouping or individually, whether a half of a time for a psychiatric social worker would enable us to cover what we need to cover. And the answer was complicated enough, and we were each running into meetings, so I wondered if he might have time to respond to everybody here.
Bob, do you want to respond to everyone here?
I don't think, as far as this position and capacity, we have any room for reduction. If, in, as folks have pointed out, the department has actually cut over 100% of what we were asked to eliminate. If, in fact, we had to do it, in fact, we chose what was the most essential thing to come back to you for, which was something you have been funding. So if, in fact, we had to do this, we probably would go back to the drawing board on certain regards, because we've kind of done the work. We cut $250,000 out as requested by the county, by county government. So, no, I don't think we have any staffing. I don't think we can reduce staffing in this area to do it the way we should be doing it. I mean, as far as actually reducing that position.
Thank you for your comment. Mike Ziegler.
My question is, I mean, we've done this for a long time, but, I mean, I understand why we first put it in place. My question now would be, I mean, have we not enhanced the training for our deputies and for our, like, the city police department and local police departments? Have they not enhanced their training to handle these kind of situations?
Mike, yes, they have. And, I mean, specifically the relationship with I mean, the Sheriff Department, but also IPD. I think it has come a long way. But, you know, when you get, you know, the calls we get from families to go engage, there's crisis stuff, but there's preventive crisis stuff, you know, when people are at the beginning of getting ill. But just to get back to what you're talking about, yes, it has improved. There's the expertise is better. But we still need to be able to respond to the community. Some of that is with the police, and some of it is with not. I was just talking to Binghamton. You know, they're going to talking about doing EPD, emotionally disturbed prevention training with the police and mental health department. They're going to look at programs, kind of thing we've been doing here for a long time, developmentally. You know, so you make a valid point, but that's only one part of the picture.
Someone else had a hand up over here, Martha.
Yeah. I just wanted to respond briefly to the question of pairing with reducing emergency services. I don't know how you have to cover a 24/7 operation of dispatch, you know, unless you can promise that nobody's going to call between 9 and 3, you know, on a certain day. There's just no way to do that, and you can't. It doesn't compute.
Are we ready for a vote here? All in favor of restoring 79,644 to the mental health budget. Signify by raising your hand, please. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's what I see. Opposed, raise your hand. 1, 2. Is that right? Very good. Okay. And Norma, just for what does that do? It just added what?
0.21%.
So you can watch the scoreboard there in the top bar above the green, and see what your actions are. Do you disagree?
I wish we didn't see totals to lead, so we could just vote what we think is best and then see where we are and then adjust it.
Well, that's like, you know, operating in a make-believe world. Mike?
That's me.
I'd like to move a decrease of one-time funding for OTR4, which is the TCAT capital expense, down by $15,437. That's what they've agreed to based on their capital program.
Is there a second? Frank, is that a second? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by raising your hands. Looks like it's a bunch. Opposed, if any? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you, Mike. Public Health Department, OTR 039, and that is, we're getting up to that. And
sorry.
Or I'll second it.
That went too fast. All right.
Sanitarium.
It's restoring the public health sanitarium and for $65,821, right? Is there a motion for that, Frank?
Yep.
Is there a second? Dooley? Discussion. Raise your hand, please. Martha?
I think that this should be supported. There are a lot of positions out there in the health department, and this was just sort of coming down one notch. I guess Joe's budget included the first OTR, and this is the second OTR. And Frank alluded to the gas drilling, DSGEIS, and I have the page here. Under the proposed protocols, county health departments will receive the results of baseline testing, water well testing, and ongoing monitoring that occurs until a year after the last hydraulic fracturing operations on a well pad. There are several health departments in Western New York whereby the county health department initially investigates a complaint and then refers it to DEC. Complaints that occur more than a year after the last hydrofracking operations will also be referred to the county health departments. Complaints referred to the county health departments, they have to sample, they have to evaluate, they have to investigate and work with the Department of Health on this. I guess I would just ask Alice, this kind of testing is what the sanitarians are going to have to do. Are those the people who would carry this out if this goes through? All right, Liz.
Yes, the sanitarians would be the ones who would have the expertise. We'd probably need training. There's a lot of additional issues associated with that. I agree that the health department would be the ones doing it, but the resource implications of what's being potentially proposed are not necessarily covered by this OTR. It would be, I've asked my staff to do risk-based, establish risk-based priorities in all their programs, and this would be one of them if it comes through. I don't know what resources would be needed.
Thanks for your comments. Liz, stay up there in case someone else has a question for you.
I can respond.
You're responding to her?
Yeah, I think this is certainly not settled in the state, and some of us are working hard to see that if this goes through, at least the resources come from somewhere else rather than county property taxes. But in the meantime, I think if we're not fully staffed in this area, I generally would see that this is really going to be a risk.
Even without that going through, I have concerns about the additional inquiries we will be receiving in the gas drilling area. Just with the release of the draft SGEIS, Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Statement, we're getting inquiries and calls from a variety of people. It's a massive undertaking, and we need resources to address that no matter what, I think.
Frank, Nate, and then Will.
I avoided wanting to get into a full discussion of this. Some of us have actually read, this is Section 7 in the draft document, which is 800 pages long. But the only reason that I wanted to move to restore this, but not the only reason, the primary reason is this department already has a number of items, as Liz has already mentioned, that need to be done. And I realize that argument can be made from almost any other department as well, but the number of food service permits, existing wells, existing septic systems, existing site reviews that have to go on now, putting aside this issue that hasn't been resolved yet, the strain is already being felt up there. So I think even beyond the need, if the state goes through with this, the need is apparent, that we really do need to restore this position.
Nate. Can I just say something that may hinge on this vote? I guess I'm a little confused by the process tonight and what you said, Jim, about some of these things may get voted on two or three or four more times. It's confusing to us as department heads because we're really not up to speed on the process. So I offer this to you. We have $177,000 worth of rollover. We want that applied to the 2010 budget. We have $144,000 worth of OTRs. So as you are deliberating and we're not sure what your process is, I hope you will keep in mind that we have $177,000 that we would like you to use, maybe applying to all of our OTRs.
I'll pass for now.
Yeah. Nate?
I was next, but I'll pass for now.
Will?
Thank you, Jim. Before this meeting, I was in a Health and Human Services meeting, and I really appreciated the fact that that you folks were there. And we posed the question, how many sanitarians you had? And there was some confusion, I understand, in a large department that can be easily done. What's not clear to me, however, is not even considering the whole issue of the gas drilling, just based on our current workload, if this is not granted as an OTR, what doesn't happen? Do you have a sense where you're going to having to be making a cut?
I've outlined some of the areas that we would be looking at. It's in all of our program areas. There's no one program we can eliminate, so that's why we need to look at each program on a risk-based from a risk-based perspective. We cannot meet our current mandates with a reduction in staff. There's no question about that. I will have to go to the State Health Department and negotiate with them in what areas we can reduce our level of effort in. It would be temporary food inspections are one area that would be hit probably fairly easily or first. Other areas, it's hard to say at this point. We're looking at mobile home parks, temporary residences, trying to reduce the scope of our inspections there, public water supplies, the scope of inspections everywhere, public water supplies, restaurant inspections. Right now we do two a year for high-risk restaurants. We would look at going down to one per year and doing some type of self-inspection program to accommodate it. None of these things have been approved by the State Health Department, and we do have to get their approval to do that.
Thank you.
Mike McClair. And then Mike Sigler.
I'd like to ask Alice, if you kept the full rollover, 177, and this motion got changed from particularly connected to a sanitarian, but instead be $49,000 for target funding increase as a department best sees fit. That would be local funding, not necessarily, you could get $75,000 if you got $25,000 in other reimbursements, so the local net share would be $49,000. Would that be more useful to you than us designating specifically for sanitarium? Because I, at this juncture, reading your seven or eight priority areas, am not feeling competent to say, I'm going to jump from priority one to priority two and hitch my wagon to that one. I'd rather give the department the flexibility to have that conversation across your community of professionals.
I think I understand your question is, I would like the flexibility to be able to fund the OTRs in the priority that they are listed. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So I would move to change this motion. I forget who made it and who seconded it, to not be targeted to sanitarian, but be $49,000, whatever that number is, target funding for the department to use as best fit. At this juncture, I'm hearing Alice say it's most likely we'll go to their priority number two, which is their sanitarian. But I would move that and see if it's friendly. If not, I would look for a second on this amendment to the motion.
I'll accept that as friendly under this description.
Well, I won't, so find somebody else to second it.
Okay, so...
You will not.
I will not, and I'd like to say why.
Well,
I'll make the amendment then to change 49 to be targeted for sanitarian to be generally local share funding target for the department.
Is that friendly?
That's
second.
What?
It's second. It had to be seconded as a substitute amendment, essentially.
Is there a second?
Frank's second.
Frank does? Okay. Now, discussion. Martha.
I'd like to ask Alice now. The full allocation is 65.8 with revenue of 16.5. So if we just give you 49, how does that affect the revenue? I mean how does that give you what you need to collect the revenue? I'm not sure I understand how that would work.
Is the revenue attached to this specific position or giving it to you as rollover? Can you still go after the $16,000 in revenue?
I'm sorry. Brenda's in jury duty, and without her, I can't answer some of these questions.
The point is, if we're funding a position, the position is $65,000. It's not $49,000. So right. If we give you $49,000, we can't fund that position, so it doesn't seem to me we can collect the revenue.
No, it's state reimbursement. So if she knows she has 49, I'm sorry to jump in as a potential answer for a department head, but if she knows she has 49, she can fund a $65,000 position knowing that the state reimbursement will come back in at 16, and she'll have 49 local share to pay for.
Yeah.
She can also decide to use that 49 local share for a position that may be 50% reimbursement, and she can hire a $98,000, you know. It's her decision as a department head.
So at this moment, the priority is
yes.
as you've listed
yes,
them, but
the
that
sanitarian.
Might change.
Yeah. Right. And all this discussion, Alice, goes to what I've said earlier, that we may look at it two or three, four times, because, one, your person wasn't here, and clearly it's going to come up again at some point. Someone else had their hand up. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, this is more of a general question. The way this has been characterized is this is going to be for gas drilling. And
No.
Fair enough.
No.
Do we have hand up?
Yeah, but Leslyn had hers up. I didn't.
I pass.
Leslyn,
somebody else asked my question.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm calling you.
I'll jump up next time. I'll stand.
Go ahead.
The reason I didn't find it friendly is that. Apparently, independently, several legislators thought that this was important for the immediate need and for the additional reason that it will fall probably to the sanitarians to do the extra work from the state when and if gas drilling comes. And I think there's a good chance that we may wind up discussing the importance of another community health nurse. There just is nothing submitted yet. So I really believe that what I want to vote for is for the sanitarian position, which I've supported in the past when there was a part-time one in the summer that you needed, and you've always needed this. So I don't want to give the department head the message that it's fine to spend it anyway, although actually the department has the authority to do that. I want the department head to hear the message that the sanitarian is important to at least some of the legislators.
Thank you for the comment. I think we're ready for a vote. All in favor of the new resolution, which adds
$49,293 target.
Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Pam.
And
Pam,
6. Okay, opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Doesn't matter, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a 6-6.
No. If we have 13 here, she has to vote.
Did you vote?
No, I did not vote.
What do you mean?
Majority of those present.
I'll vote against it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it's 6-7.
So we're back to the main motion.
Main motion. All in favor of the main motion.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Nate.
I just have a quick comment. I mean, this is a position where, going back on the idea that, you know, department heads might have to come back later, this is a position where let me take a step back. Right now, this meeting seems to have a lot of additions. I think the next meeting, too, will be that way. And there's so many things being added right now that, or have the potential to be added. I'm uncomfortable voting for this position at this point with all of these additions coming. Later on in the process, once we've had some reductions in the budget, then I might be willing to entertain, you know, this. I'd actually be willing to support this at that time. But at this point, I can't.
Okay.
Because of the rest of the things in the budget.
All right. Fair enough. Leslie.
I just want to ask a clarifying question. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but Dooley brought up the community health nurse. Right, Dooley?
Yes.
But I thought that was already recommended for funding. Oh, okay. I thought I missed something before I came in the room that somebody cut it or something.
Nope.
No. Thank you.
All right. Martha.
As a process question, Nathan, I think there are 91 OTRs, right? So the last one, at least, is number 091. So I see this process as our filtering out. We're not going to vote on 91. We're not even. We haven't. Nobody's even proposed, or I think will propose, all 91. I see this as kind of the first filter, and that this is a chance for us to express the things that are higher on our list than on others, than other OTRs. It doesn't mean in the end they'll all stay, especially if we can't find offsetting cuts. But I feel, I mean, I'm voting for things because I think they're higher priority than others. That's what I propose them in that spirit. So I hope you'll consider them in that spirit.
And I feel the exact same way, which is why I'm voting the way that I am.
Any other comments? All in favor of the resolution as originally stated, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed.
No,
6.
No, there's more than that.
Well, then you need to raise your hand, folks.
Up high.
Okay. Do you want to come up and walk right on the chalkboard? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I see. Is there more? Now, opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
7.
Opposed.
Wait.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No.
7.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Someone didn't have their hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, 7.
I
wasn't counting myself. Pam and then Dooley.
I just have to make a general comment, and I probably should have made this at the beginning of the meeting. I mean, I'm voting for to putting some of these things back in, but in my heart, I just know that we are doing this with even larger cuts in front of us. And so I don't know if it makes us feel good. I mean, I guess that's why I'm doing it, because I can't bear the thought of us just eliminating so many things. But the reality is that we are on some level just not facing our future. And perhaps we will wait until the future comes before we decide to do something. But I just have to say that, because every time I raise my hand, even though I want these things, I just think that this is not a realistic a way that we are doing this. So.
Dooley, and then Leslie.
So the amended resolution that we turned down just before the original one that we voted on, I voted with the majority, which had it lose. So I'd like to reconsider that.
I'll second.
Okay. So restating, this is the resolution that was Mike's original resolution for 49,293. All right, I'll try to see if I can get this in there. All in favor?
Do you need to put it back on the floor?
Yeah.
Can we have discussion?
Yeah, hold on. Do we need to put it?
She moved it. I seconded it.
Okay, discussion.
So to reconsider.
Carol, Leslin, Nathan. Thank you, Leslin.
Would you like to go first, Leslin?
Come on.
I would love to go first, because Alice Robinson important one, and I just need some clarification. What happened to the department's rollover, and why aren't we considering a Tyler?
Joe, you want to answer that?
As I said the other night, and I say it in the general sense,
I was asleep, Joe, sorry.
There are a couple of exceptions, but generally we've tried to avoid using one-time money to fund recurring expenses. So in the case of the health department, I think all of their OTRs are in the nature of recurring expenses, mostly for people. So we have been very reluctant to use one-time money, even if it's the department's own rollover, to do that. Again, there are exceptions. One came up the other night, but generally that's been the approach.
Right, okay, I remember that. Go ahead, Dooley.
It's about Lesman's question. I thought Tyler meant
right.
that they will get a target in lieu of the rollover. They will take that amount out of rollover, but I think Joe has already taken all the rollover.
No.
Then I think Lesman's question may not have been, maybe you didn't understand her question.
I think it has the same effect,
yes.
though, if I'm not, because I'm still getting used to the vocabulary and the mechanics here, but I believe that what would happen is we would raise property taxes this year to support that increase. So if it's an additional person, we would raise taxes to pay for that person. But we would get back some
right.
one-time money to offset that once.
Mm-hmm.
Come 2011, we wouldn't have access to that
on
one-time money, so there'd be a real effect on tax levy at that point.
Okay.
Am I correct?
On
so it still it falls in the same philosophical concerns about one-time money and recurring expenses.
Carol, then Mike.
Oh, this is kind of in the vein of pain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would also like to be able to do most of these things that can go down this list. But I'm trying to keep in mind, and that would make me feel very good to go down the list and vote for all of them. But in the end, even though you're talking about this, the chair talked about this as a straw poll, we have to decide whether we're going to pass the ultimate package of the budget. And if we keep adding, if we end up with adding back the whole, $2.4 million of OTRs, we're not going to get 8 votes to pass a budget. So I'm trying to keep in mind as I go through my votes here, especially in this first go-around, what might be doable to get us all in agreement on a budget we can pass. So I just don't want it to be seen as if you're voting against something here, it means that you are dissing a department or a particular need. It's just that we have really, really tough decisions to make.
Nate, I ignored you, Nate. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that, you know, just to reiterate that with the psychiatric social worker that we did vote for, I mean, that's 0.2%. With the pension costs that are going to be added possibly to target, maybe that would bring us to 4%. And at 4%, we're already a percent above our target. And that is affecting my decisions tonight, and will for the rest of the process, unless we have some
right.
cuts
and
that come.
Mike, go ahead.
I do have some proposed cuts to counterbalance these votes that I'm making to put some increases in later on in the process. So people should know that they've seen that page.
Right.
I do, though, appreciate Leslin's question, because the department has come to us this evening and offered rollover. So I would ask Dooley if she would accept the friendly amendment to what is now the main motion to accept $49,000 of the department's $177,000 rollover to essentially make it a Tyler, even though Joe has told us he doesn't like Tylers this year.
Absolutely. That's what I had in mind.
Okay. So that because she's now moving it, and I'm the secondary
second.
Friendly, it's now part of the motion.
Okay. Do we need to have any more discussion on it? We do. Go ahead.
Well, I really appreciate Joe's not dipping into rollover for these ongoing expenses, and I'm surprised, because if you changed your vote, Julia, unless other people changed in the other direction, Mike's original motion would pass. So I'm not sure why.
I get
to
change.
Could we not predict votes?
I understand.
Maybe let me just
Please.
Count them up wrong, okay? It works better that way. Frank and then Carol.
Yeah, my recollection is that we weren't using rollover to fund positions. that we had to do it under permanent target financing. And if I were an employee wondering whether I would have a position from year to year based on the funding, I'm not so sure I'd be comfortable with this. But going back to when we instituted rollover, I hate to say I remember those days, but I do. We did not use rollover to fund positions. So I understand where you're trying to go with this, just to get the position in there, but this, in my opinion, is not the way to do it.
Someone else had their hand up back there. Carol and then Martha.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know that you already talked about this, but I'm not sure that I'm understanding the rollover and where it fits into the budget. My understanding is that to get to the point in the budget we are now, we've already counted rollover, giving back rollover, and that so therefore to allocate the rollover, or that the fund balance, we're already using something from the fund balance, so that changes the acceptable amount of the fund balance.
These funds are actually sitting in an area in the fund balance that's allocated to the health department. So they have this money that's kind of tied to the health department. It's rollover that they generated through the last few years. So they're kind of banking that money. What's being proposed right now is to reduce the tax levy with one-time dollars. Basically, the position will come back next year. It'll raise the tax levy, but it'll just move in. So the department isn't going to be, it will be held harmless. No. We're going to defer the tax levy increase until next year.
I'm sorry. I may have misspoken. My understanding of what Dooley and I have moved is we will increase the tax levy by $49,000.
Okay.
For 2010. We will generously accept a contribution from the 177 of rollover back to the general fund as part of that.
Right.
So we are, this year, increasing tax levy. It is not postponing that increase.
Martha.
I wonder if it's accept if you move to reconsider the previous vote, is it acceptable that you change that motion now? I'm just not sure. The previous vote was Mike's, it didn't involve rollover.
Because it was moved and I seconded it, it became the main motion. It didn't get to the floor as a reconsideration.
Are we ready?
Could you repeat what we're voting on?
On the board, 49,293.
Target increase.
Target increase.
And accepting back 49,293 of rollover from the department.
All in favor, signify by raising your hand.
This is small.
One.
Wait. We're voting?
Yes, we're voting. Signify by saying, I'm going to count this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 for 6. I voted in favor.
It's not using 20.
Sure it is. It's just all we're doing is... This is an accounting ploy, is all it is. Excuse me, I need to get so worked up. How much do you want 2 and 2 to be? If you want to fund it for sure, forget rollover, go for a target, and fund it. Do it the way we originally proposed it. The department won't have to worry. It's in there, but everybody has been messing around.
Thank you, Frank, for yours. I think at some point along the process, I know I said that we should not rely on rollover money and one-time funding, but I'm going to go along with this kind of. Anyone else? Yeah.
It is tough.
Sorry, I opened Pandora's box, but you have to understand where we're coming from. We're in the middle of an H1N1 pandemic. This may not be your world, but we're living, eating, and sleeping this 24/7, and it's taking its toll. This will help us get through a year. It will give us transition. It will give us breathing room. I'm not trying to create
all these boondoggles and opening Pandora's box, but we're in a crisis, folks. And this money will give us a year of transition. That's all I'm asking for.
Thank you. Next item, Mike.
Just want to clarify, because I think Frank is stating something in a mistaken fashion. If we had done nothing tonight, the department would have had $177,000 rollover they could have spent by coming to us next year in any way they wanted to, as long as we approved it, one-time money. What we just did with this action is we did increase the target of the department by 49. End of sentence. Additionally, we said, okay, we also decreased their rollover for 2010 by 49, but we increased the target in 2010 by our action.
Go ahead. Maybe I misheard Alice. Some of us have been talking about the pandemic, and we have already spoken to Joe about getting temporary help in some cases. It may be that that rollover would be used to hire the temporary help that we're in. I hope we don't need to do it, but it's sort of a safety valve. If you want to support the sanitarium, which is where I'm coming from, and that's why I made that motion, forget rollover, leave it as the safety valve if, heaven forbid, we have to hire temporary help for the pandemic. Right. Now, Alice, I don't want to second-guess Alice and put words in her mouth. I think she's being very kind and generous about trying to get us out of this fix. But my concern is that if we take the money the way you described it, Mike, you're reducing, no matter how you do it, you're reducing the rollover.
You're right. In the rollover department, we're reducing some flexibility.
Payment.
Let's move on to the library. 034, I believe. There are three different individuals who had three individuals had resolutions, Julie, Martha, and myself, for the library. Thank you for coming, Alice and friends.
Thanks.
Someone want to move that?
Move which one?
Well, there's only one that I can see. It's 034. There's a level of $60,000 and $58,000. Julie?
I'd like to move the highest number, $60,000, and tell you what it is.
Well, discussion.
The $60,000 figure comes from the retiring Janet Steiner. She supplied it, saying that to restore 17 hours a week of library page services would cost $12,000. To restore 17 hours a week of a library clerk would cost $14,000. To restore 7 hours a week of information technology support would cost $16,000. And to restore 14 hours a week of professional librarian services would cost $18,000. And I added them and I got $60,000. So they are separable, but I would like to see all of those positions continue. If you've been in the library, you've seen books stacked and not shelved. You've seen lines. So I think they really need it.
Any other discussion? Martha.
I really looked, and I didn't get that. I don't think I got that document. So I hope that can be made available. But I'll just explain the 58 that I put in there, which is since I hadn't seen that. Their full OTR request was 154. Joe included 19,000 that would put them to the level to comply with maintenance of effort requirement. And I just did the math to say what would bring them to half of that OTR. It ends up being 58. I can support the 60 since it's pretty much the same thing as I was proposing.
Any other discussion? Mike.
I won't be supporting this. The first two that I did support, I see is closer to life and death issues. This is not at that level, and it's not our job is to make a sense of priority, sense of proportion. And I do very much support our Tompkins County Public Library, but this is not of that same level, so I won't be supporting it.
Anyone else? Frank.
Jim, on the sheet that Norma prepared,
yes,
we have Public Library 034, Public Library 034, Public Library 034. It appears that all those are for the same
right,
and
it's different levels.
The one that's being proposed is the $60,000, as I understand.
That's right.
And Martha's already suggested that hers, she could support the 60 because it's close to 58. Are you going to propose the 50?
I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I can do that as the chair. Pam.
Well, I if the 60 doesn't pass, I will propose the 50. I will propose a lower sum. And, you know, I mean, okay. We have this list of four items. And so
It just looks like, so I'm reading this correctly. There are three individuals with three different dollar amounts.
Exactly.
Dollar amounts.
That's right. That's
true. So is there any more discussion on 60? All in favor of 60, raise your hand, please. One, two, three, four. This is 60. One, two, three, four. Opposed to 60. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Can we propose an amount that is not on this sheet already?
Of
yes.
First hand up. He calls it and becomes a motion.
I'd like to propose 30.
There's a second?
For how much?
30. 30. 3-0.
Well, Carol, why don't you... Which positions are you thinking of?
I would let the library decide.
Just picking a number.
Is there a second?
I'll support 20.
Dies for the lack of second.
Okay.
Is there anyone else? Pam, you had your hand up.
Well,
and then
let's try 50.
Is there a second for 50? A whole bunch of them. Is there any necessity for further discussion? All in favor of the 50, raise your hand, please. I'll start on this side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll support that. That's not going anywhere. Opposed to 50. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You had 7 on the yeses.
3, 4. 7. I'm sorry.
We had 7 on the yeses.
He's not a math teacher.
No, let's do that in favor of 50 again. All right. In favor of 50. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Where's the 7?
No, you were 6.
Okay.
And now let's do the no's.
And the no's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
Okay. Someone else want to try another number? Pam.
Well, I'd like to propose 30.
Hang on.
Second.
We
already did that. I'll second.
Well, that's right. We did
no,
that.
That's no. Okay.
We did
okay.
Make it 20.
I'll second
20.
There's a 30 on the floor.
Come on.
All in favor? We don't need to talk about
it. I just said order matters. So, I mean, I was opposed to it before. Now I'll go for it.
Okay. All in favor of 30. Raise your hand, please. 1, 2. Duly where you know. 2.
I'm thinking.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Then I'm voting for it.
7.
Okay.
Opposed to 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Gee, I got that one right. 7, 6. Is that 30 to just go to the library and they decide what they're going to do with it?
Okay. Right.
No, that's that was target funding?
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's is that from their list of priorities that they sent us all?
I'm sorry?
Sure,
ask the question, Norma.
We're changing 19,000 target that's currently in the county administrator's recommended to 30.
No.
No,
we added 30.
It's 49 now.
Right. 49.
30
and
19.
49. Because it was sent to a couple different ways.
Should we keep going with this Ralphin show, or
we got to keep going? If we stop,
proper extensions. Okay, let's go. Cooperative Extension, Cost of Living Increase, and Ag and Farmland Protection Board, OTR numbers 036 and 037.
Hold on, 037?
Hold on, Frank. Frank is moving 037. 037, is there a second?
Which is that?
$16,875 for the Ag and Farm Land Protection Board.
Is there a second?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
Julie. Okay, discussion. Frank?
This, as you know, has we've always funded this, and the Planning Department has just been a pass-through, God bless you, to Cooperative Extension. But the part of this money goes to do the protection plan, which it's my understanding that the Planning Department is already in the throes of doing an update on the comprehensive plan, and that the time that they spend allocating time to doing the protection plan can be counted as their local match. They are entitled to add those numbers in. Is either Monica or Debbie in the back there?
Debbie's there.
Can you help me with this a little bit, one of you? Because we're trying to parlay $16,000 into a larger dollar amount.
Right. There's state funding currently available in the order of $50,000 that we could apply for to update the agriculture plan. And the ag plan is 10 years old. And the state is, the way the funding is being allocated is for plans that are 10 years old or older. And so we're in that group of counties that have a 10-year-old plan and we're eligible for funds. So if we have a county allocation for the ag plan, we can use that towards our match. We have to provide a 20% cash match. We can also use significant staff time to match, to provide the 50% total match for the application. And so in part of our request, it's for continuing implementation of the current activities of the ag plan, but a significant chunk of time would be devoted to updating the plan, which is quite old, and we have new census data that we'd like to incorporate. We have obviously lots of activity at the town level related to land use that has changed over the last 10 years, and that needs to be looked at. And so I hope we continue to be able to do this work on behalf of the county.
Just a quick follow-up. It's real quick. Monica, the staff time that you're talking about can be
both
the Planning Department.
It could be, yeah, so it could be additional funding actually to support Planning Department staff time.
Okay.
It could be additional funding to support the Cooperative Extension involvement in the plan development, and it could also, you know, we could also use whatever you allocate as part of the cash match, showing evidence that you're providing funding that would be part of the match. So I mean, we're eligible for $50,000. I've started to work with Ed and Joan and Scott on how to develop the budget and how much staff time is involved from extension, how much staff time from planning. So we're starting to work out the budget for the grant application. And we certainly could, you know, provide some direct funding for staff plus some of the match out of the, you know, what you provide. Essentially, the grant is an 18-month grant. We would have a year and a half. It could go over two budget years. The actual cash commitment in that two budget year time frame would be $10,000. So, you know, you could allocate $7,500 as part of the match for 1 year and $2,500 for the next year, however you want to divide it. But I think it's an opportunity. We, right at the moment, state funding seems to be available, and we don't know how long that will be available, so I think it's something we need to act on.
Pam and then Martha.
Well, I find myself a little unclear here, because when the Planning Department was talking about this, they mostly have talked about their reduction was in terms of their support for the board meeting. And the whole issue of the Farmland Protection Plan, which I think we all would agree is an important plan, I didn't feel that that was really a part of their description of their reduction in funding. So so I would be in favor of our increasing this by some amount. I'm not sure I could go the full distance.
Martha.
Yeah, I was confused. I think I'm even more confused. So it's a $50,000 grant. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to match it with $25,000?
20 in cash.
Mm-hmm. 20 in cash.
Oh, 10 in cash. I'm sorry. You're right. Thanks.
10 in cash.
Yeah, 20%. Yeah.
10 in cash, but what? But this. Now I'm confused about the staff match. Is this?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, if the planning department is feeling like they're taking a hit on staff, and if we take a hit on staff as a result of your actions, we have the opportunity to make up a difference with state money. So, you know, in effect, the planning department could use the funding to shore up a little bit of their staff time, and we can use it to shore up a little bit of our staff time that would be lost by any cut. And then everybody gains, and you know, contribute funding.
Well, where's this $10,000 come from?
It would be whatever the allocation is of this board.
So, if we put 16,875 into staff.
Yes, and that would have accounted for the, you know, the basic plan implementation, the continuation of our work, plus the $10,000. So it would be the continuation of the current work as well as the work on the new plan.
But the $50,000 is for the new plan.
That's the total amount available from the state that we could apply for.
And it's but it's for the new plan. It's not
right.
The current work.
Oh, right. That's right. Right. So that's why, you know, we would like to keep some funding there to continue the current work that we have ongoing.
Okay, Carol, and then Will.
My question was going to be about what of the current work could wait while we do this plan. Is there an amount here that would be less than the 16 that you could get from other? Well, those are two different questions.
Yeah.
What could you reallocate of what you're doing already so that you
can
apply?
I think we'd have to look at what we'd have to cut, essentially. You know, we definitely, if we're working on the plan, we're going to have to devote time to the plan, and we'll have to reduce the activities. The major activities have been in ag education and awareness, the work that Debbie does on, you know, Farm City Day and all the other activities that we're involved in, outreach to schools, ag in the classroom. That would be one major chunk. Another chunk is we're doing a lot of work with outreach to towns, especially as it relates to ag district law. You know, that's really, I think, a high priority. That's something we would have to continue. And then a lot of the work in ag economic development are things that I would do regardless, but still it's enhanced by the fact that we have this plan.
Okay, and then my understanding when we talked about this in committee was also that part of this was for staffing for the ag and
the funding. This has a long history, and I know it's confusing. I'm sorry, but we approved the plan in 1999. The county approved it. The plan actually stated that a goal was to have, you know, half-time staff support for implementation of the plan. That's stated in the plan. Since 1999, the funding has come through planning to the county, to cooperative extension, from the county through planning to cooperative extension, for supporting a half-time staff person and the activities of the board for, you know, every year since 1999. So we've had an ongoing movement in this county on an agriculture and farmland protection plan that has brought us, you know, it's got us to the point where we brought in lots of money on PDR grants, which, you know, now the county has taken an interest in, but we took the initiative to get that ball rolling. And, you know, we've been working with farmers on any number of different projects and working a lot on ag awareness education. So we've been every year taking the strategies and goals of the plan and working on implementation. So if you looked at the list, you'd see, you know, a lot of what we've accomplished. Yet there are things in that plan that are out of date that we never touched.
that we do need a new plan, and we have started to work on some of the strategies, but we really need to look at the data, to look at the trends in terms of agriculture, what is happening in our community. We need to really be looking carefully at what kind of activities and resources need to be directed to agriculture in the future. And I think that's the benefit of updating the plan. It is, if you read it, the data especially, there are some significant changes. And actually, it's very interesting to look at Tompkins County agriculture compared to our surrounding counties. We've all of a sudden become a leader. We used to be not as strong in Chemung County was always stronger in horticulture. We're the leader in the horticulture industry in our region. We're the, in all categories, we are a strong leader in agriculture. I think we serve as a vital resource to the surrounding counties because we have strong markets. And so I think it's important to look at what are the infrastructure needs to continue to serve that vital role. So those are some of the things that I think we need to look at.
Will.
So what happens, Monica, if we do not get the state funding?
I think it's a missed opportunity, and I think it's, I mean, I don't think...
I'm sorry, but if they fail to grant it...
Well, I think The big thing is that it puts us, I'm not even sure we'd be eligible for Ag and Farmland Protection Planning funds, for PDR funds, because if we don't have a current ag plan, the state is encouraging us to have a current ag plan. That's why they're providing funding only to those counties that are 10 years and older, and they'll just keep going down the list. And so, in the future, it'll be more competitive. Right now, there's maybe a half a dozen counties that have 10-year-old plans. So, and I do think the state has indicated that these plans are very important in terms of allocation of PDR funds to protecting farmland. So if we don't have a current plan that reflects, and the one deficiency in our plan, according to the law, is the fact that we never put on a map areas that we said we would designate for protection. And that was largely because the farm community at that time was not comfortable with designating specific areas. But we've moved beyond that. We have areas where farms have been protected. And I think now we're ready to say these are our target areas for protection, which is a requirement in state ag plans, which we don't currently have.
Mike Kevin.
When you were here, I asked a series of questions about this. And in my mind, I'm getting conflicting answers, not that you're being... in conflict. I think it's on the other side. But we got the Ag Protection Plan. And then we have Ag Districts. And I asked Claire, actually Ken got back to me on this. Our proposed, the budget as it is now without any restoration would not threaten either the Ag Districts or updating the Ag Districts.
Well, that's a requirement of the county board by law, so it is something that you're obligated to do. So.
Right. But the Ag Land Protection Plan, which opens up the avenue for a number of funding sources for ag-related activities, would be jeopardized.
Well, if we don't apply for the funding to get the plan updated, yes.
Thanks. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Just clarify there.
Sorry to make it confusing.
You do.
I have Frank, and then I have Martha, and then I have Carol, and then I have Julie.
Just
Mike somewhere in this town. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Frank, you're up.
Just to highlight, to address one of Carol's questions, some of the things, one very, very definite item that wasn't part of our, we identified it back 10 years ago, but it wasn't as apparent in our plan, and it certainly blossomed as organic farming. This county has taken on that as a really viable piece of agriculture. The farmers market has become even more a part of our fabric in the agricultural atmosphere here. A lot of the organic farmers
are selling products to Wegmans and some of the local distribution points. As far as Green Star is concerned, they buy a lot of that from local distribution. In addition, the purchase of development rights program, Monica was describing that, was in its infancy 10 years ago. And this county has really blossomed in that regard as well. There are farms in Dryden, as a matter of fact, three farms in Dryden that have been awarded, one major one in Lansing, and we have applications. It's tough for us on the board to review those applications often because we have two or three. We don't want to inundate the state with more than two or three because the ones we'd like to present are ones we'd like to get funded. And the numbers run anywhere from $400,000 or $500,000 to close to $1 million. Those are monies that are coming into this county that are used so that the development rights on that property are purchased and can't be used for development. They have to stay in agriculture. So that's been a really decent program. We've involved the land trust in some of the administration, and that's worked out pretty well as well. So I mean, for the amount of money that we have at stake here, parlaying that into six or seven figures has been wonderful. And I can't say more than Monica already has. I would urge you to support it.
There were many hands up, and Tyke hasn't said anything for about 4 days, so let me go to Tyke first, okay?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Just say something, dude.
I guess you're right. I will support this. This is kind of a no-brainer to me. I know, you know, my district is absolutely predominantly farms still. The farmscape has changed immensely since I was a kid in the area. And, you know, with a plan that's 10 years old, I don't think it addresses the need that's there now because it has changed so very much that I'd hate to see that, you know, us lose that money and for that to go away and not to address a real need that's out there.
Thank you, Tyke. Now I'll go back to the usual suspects. Martha?
Guilty. I wish Ed were here because this has gotten tied up with this question of advisory board support, so I'm confused. But if I can ask you, if we funded this at $10,000, you'd be able to use that $10,000 as the match for the grant. Is that right?
Right.
What would that mean for support of the board?
I think it's more the implementation of the ag plan, the other components of the ag plan that we would, you know, have. It would have more of an impact on the board support, and I'll be honest, and I've been told by planning, we have been providing through Cooperative Extension the lead support for the board. That means that, you know, we call the meetings, take the minutes, do whatever follow-up is needed, make sure we bring issues of importance, and we're in a unique role because our job is agriculture, at least my job is and Debbie's is. And, you know, so we're aware of what's important to the ag community, so we bring that to the board. So we set the agenda, and Ed has told us that he's taking over the board operation, essentially. So that's what his mandate is. The board is not happy with that. The Ag and Farmland Board has not been approached by Ed and been told that that is, in fact, the case of what he's doing. So I think that issue still needs to be resolved with Ed and the board.
So can you give me a number of if we – 10,000 is for the – sort of the plan implemented for the application and the implementation, is there an amount that if we've added to that would allow you to continue the support of the board?
Well, that would be again, that would be about the basic board support would be about 3,500. The balance would be, you know, if we had the full 18,000 allocation that we have this year, the way it would break out was about 3,500 to board support and the balance to implementation.
Okay, but taking the 6.25% cut, you ended up with 16,875.
Mm-hmm. And that was because we felt like we should take the cut just like everybody else, essentially, was in terms of the request.
Okay.
Okay, Pam.
I didn't
What? You didn't have your hand up?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pam. Carol. Must
alike.
Be Dooley. Go ahead.
It was Carol.
Everyone will get their shot, okay? Come on.
Jeez. Are you calling on me?
No, yes.
Okay. I would like to move to amend. Well, actually, am I separating or amending? I would like to take up the matter of the $10,000 cash separately from the rest, and then I'd like to be able to save the rest till we have the discussion of other advisory boards, which is apparently been an issue. So for now, I'd like to move to amend. Wait, can I separate?
Separate, I don't know what you
so that
do.
We. I would like to move to separate this so that we vote on the $10,000 cash.
In other words, you're changing the 16,875 to 10,000. Is that it?
She's actually making a motion to put it in two pots.
In two pots, and then I would like to save the other pot till later in our process.
Oh, move to separate.
So
is
I'm
there
moving
a second?
To separate.
Yeah, right. Is there a second? Okay.
Second.
Discussion on separation?
Right.
I'm going to oppose it because I'd like to see the 16,875 go up or down on its own merits,
right.
And then we can come back with further motions if it does not succeed.
Okay. Anyone else talking for the separation? Go ahead. Do
it. I oppose the separation. There's still some outstanding questions on the total amount, which we haven't yet voted on, and I'd rather get those answered first.
I just wish this were 16 million so we could vote a lot faster, but it's only 16,000. Hearing no more discussion on that, let's vote on the separation. All in favor of the separation, raise your hand, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two opposed to the separation.
Everybody else.
Lost. Whatever the count for that. Back to the main motion. Now, there were some other people, and Carol and Mike Plinkler.
You made it too.
Carol Dunn, Pam didn't want to say anything, Dooley, Mike Hattery, and Mike Plinkler.
Everybody.
Dooley?
He said Mike Plinkler twice.
Thank you. I thought I understood from the list of cooperative extension contracts that we were supplied with that the county planning department had an $18,000 contract with cooperative extension, and it's proposed to be zero for 2010. I don't know whether that contract was only for the Ag and Farmland Board or not. That's my first question. Can someone tell me?
Can yes.
It
I
is. It was
is
all
yes.
for the Ag and Farmland Board.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I see, I've heard Monica say that accepting a 6.25% reduction is why we're at 16,875.
Correct.
And that will allow what needs to be done, which is get that state grant if you can, and update the plan, and implement it, and support the Ag and Farmland Board. And I am glad that Frank put this on the list. I was waiting to understand what the planning department's thoughts were with respect to why it let this completely go. And I'm happy that if this is a good solution and I will no longer think about the planning department and the Ag and Farmland Board, I will be happy to support this full amount. And I'm looking forward to dealing with the planning department's support of the other advisory boards as a separate issue.
Mike Hager.
Yeah, I'm willing to support this and we'll be proposing a commensurate reduction in the planning department's, which if it doesn't fly, I'll revisit this to have this taken out.
Okay. Mike Plinkler.
I won't be able to support the 16,875, but I will be able to support a lower number because I'm anxious to get the matching money for the planning grant, but not the ongoing work at this moment.
Understood. Nate, had your hand up?
It'll be okay.
Jump in.
It's okay. Okay,
Pam.
Well, I would like to support. I'm going to support the 16875 because I think that it's clear that this is the Ag and Farm Board, that this is where this money belongs. I don't understand that we have this the planning department said they weren't going to support this board anymore, and then now they're going to take over the board. And until that's straightened out, I'm sticking with what we've got. I think that it's working fine, and I really am troubled by the fact that we have this disparity in terms of where we're going with this.
Thank you for that, Pam. I think rather than go down that road too far, we don't have Ed here, and that maybe that's a discussion we can have a bit later. That was clearly new information to me, and I'm not conversant with the Ag and Farmland Board, Martha Goodhead.
Which is why I'd like to move to amend this to be a $10,000 allocation, and informally the same thing Carol was doing, and just when we do come back to advisory board support, I would like to have in our heads that we want to make sure this
is covered.
Is there a
second for that?
So it's a $10,000 amendment to make it
$10,000. Mike, second. Thank you. Discussion. Mike.
Normally, I would like to go with the 16-8, but because there is enough confusion in the room, I think we can now do it iteratively. We can do 10, and then we get more information, and we can go up to 16-8 at a later point. I know that's a strategic decision about going from top down or from bottom up, but I'm seconding it for that purpose.
Well, we're open for almost the same thing here. All in favor, I see no reason to discuss this any further. Let's vote on the $10,000. All in favor of the new resolution, please signify by raising your hand.
Is this
$10,000.
Amending it, or is this?
Yes.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed. Many more.
Eight, do the math.
Technical term.
Okay, that went down. $10,000. I'm going to bring back the original motion. Okay. All in favor of the original motion of 16875, signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Ooh, thanks. Keeping in mind what Mike Hattery said. Finance positions, review department's funding level 021. That is senior account clerk typist, 57,074, duty keeper. Going once.
There's another covered extension motion on the list.
What about the other cooperative?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're on overload.
Oh, yeah. Oh. 036, approved COLA request. That's a duty keeper motion.
It is?
It sure is. 16,700.
Oh.
Are you going to move it?
I realize that I was confused about asking for staff people who got less than living wages in our agencies that we support. I didn't think of CCE as an agency in that sense, but I guess before moving this with the COLA, I need to have a better sense of how those positions stack up against positions elsewhere. There are several other agency questions about COLAs, and I'm not happy to move one without.
Let me take that as a, you're not going to move that resolution now?
No, but I wanted to try to indicate why.
Okay.
So that
oh my God.
Mr. Schlatter doesn't think I'm completely crazy.
All right, go ahead. You know, we can always come down on the side of confusion.
We often do.
Yeah. Well, we're very good at that.
I think she's done. She just
go ahead, do it.
She's done. She just communicated to Ken her intention.
Okay.
We're just
Mike.
Postponing that one.
Oh,
yes.
Well, that's what I was suggesting.
All right.
Finance positions, 021. Senior account clerk typist, 57,074. Julie Kiefer.
I had hoped we would actually have a break before this because I was unable to reach David Squires today to talk
to him
about the
positions. Well, do you want to take a five-minute break? Let's do it. Thank you very much. We'll take a five-minute break.
Thank you.
I gave you your shot, which is a bypass.